episode 605 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Justice League Spotlight episode. We're going to be talking about Justice League issue number 11. It's part two of the Drowned Earth story. But I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. I think actually when I talked about part one, it feels like this story has already been going on for a long time. You know, we had some preludes, we had some tie-ins before the very first issue came out. You know, we had a Justice League prelude, we had a tie-in with Aquaman 41, I believe it was. We also had a tie-in with Titans. So again, it has felt like this is a big event that's affecting a lot of the DC universe, but it also feels like it's much further along than just part two. And this part two that takes place in Justice League 11 leads directly into another tie-in in Aquaman 42. So you probably want to check that out as well if you haven't already done so. And then, of course, we have it leading up to Justice League 12, which is part three. And then it comes to a conclusion in the, I believe it's the Aquaman Justice League one-shot. Part one was Justice League Aquaman one-shot. And then I think the final is Aquaman Justice League. So Justice League Aquaman and then Aquaman Justice League. So anyway, let's dive into this issue, part two of the Drowned Earth story. And for those not familiar, so what's happened is these ancient sea gods from other worlds have come to Earth, and apparently they've been here before. And Arion, the legendary Atlantean sorcerer, was able to repel them with the help of Poseidon and prevent them from taking over the planet. So they have returned through some machinations of the Legion of Doom, specifically Lex Luthor's plan put into motion by Black Manta and Cheetah, who have reasons for doing this, right? Like Black Manta is the sworn mortal enemy of Aquaman. And so not only does he want to destroy Aquaman, see Aquaman and the seas devastated, basically, he also covets the power of Aquaman and always has. And we saw in the first issue, the first part of the story, that these sea gods from these other worlds were able to take the power of Aquaman, his ability to communicate with sea life, and give that to Black Manta. So that is something Manta has always coveted and now finally has in his grasp. And it kind of explains why Manta would be willing to betray his planet and everyone on it for power, right? We know just how evil and twisted Black Manta can be. For Cheetah's part, much the same. Wonder Woman is her sworn enemy, despite what we saw recently in the Wonder Woman Rebirth title. She, depending on your point of view, can be somewhat of a tragic figure, but she certainly is playing the villain here now that she's hooked up with the Legion of Doom. And she's always wanted to get revenge on the gods for what they've done to her and how they've negatively affected her life. And if she can harm Wonder Woman in the process, so be it. So with her and Manta in a previous issue of Justice League, finding the Tear of Extinction and finding a way to kill Poseidon, that fulfilled a dream or a wish of something that she coveted for a long time. She now has the power to kill gods. So they have allowed these gods to come to Earth. They've allowed the Earth to be flooded or drowned, if you will. And these waters from this otherworldly kraken that the sea gods have unleashed on Earth basically have the power to be transformative. Any human, any being who is touched by these floodwaters is transformed into kind of a sea monstrosity, and in turn are able to be controlled to some extent by Black Manta, because he does have that power that was taken from Aquaman and given to him. So this issue, Justice League 11, Drowned Earth Part 2, starts off with, well, first I should mention the regular covers by Francis Manapul. But it also has a variant cover by Francisco Mattina that is very much Aquaman movie themed. So we've got a depiction of Jason Momoa surrounded by sharks, and it's a very powerful image as he's standing there underwater, bubbles surrounding him in a way, and holding his trident. eyes glowing with power. It's a very cool looking image. So if you get a chance, I definitely would suggest picking that up. So anyway, as I said, this issue starts off with a flashback many years ago, the Anemonal Badlands, rather. And it's Mira and her father. They're actually from Zebel, which, you know, supposedly the penal colony of Atlantis. And so those that were exiled there have started a civilization, I guess you'd say. They've, you know, procreated. There's generations that have been born there, that live there, and they feel unfairly trapped because they did nothing wrong to be there. You know, they're the offspring of these people that maybe did deserve to be there, but they themselves don't. So Mira's asking her father, why have we snuck here? You know, you're the king of Zebel. Isn't it dangerous for you to be here at all? And just to view that, the city that's the cause of our misery. And her father says, you know, I understand your confusion. Atlantis is bright. We still know the spires. And, you know, when I was a child, I was told that it could fly into the sky and find other oceans. And what if that were true? Amira doesn't believe him, but he says, you know, I come here often in the night because a king or a queen must choose to see the things not as they are, but as they could be. And maybe someday we could be free. Maybe someday we could return to Atlantis. And now that the algae fog is lifting, look. And Mira looks, and she doesn't see hope or possibility the way her father does. Instead, she sees a city that's beyond saving. She cannot forgive the Atlanteans for what they did, for banishing the original inhabitants to Zebel and them being trapped there. And as I said, now a civilization has grown there, and there's so many innocents that did nothing wrong, and they're just merely descendants of those that did make those mistakes. And so she's filled with anger and cannot let it go. So, again, anyone who's followed the story of Mira over the past few years is going to understand that anger and how eventually – it's so interesting when you think about it. She eventually, through her love of Aquaman, is able to turn that anger into love and eventually lead Atlantis herself. So as we turn the page, we're in present day, and we're at the Hall of Justice. Batman is there. And he's calling for anyone from the League to answer him. He's worried that the hall is beginning to crack, and he has Jaro in his hand and is asking Jaro if he can sense anyone, and no one answers. So he worries, Batman worries for the totality. The Sea Gods have blockaded the Earth from any interstellar help, and the Armada and the Kraken are preventing help from coming and flooding the Earth, and Batman's worried how long he can hold out on his own in the Hall of Justice. Meanwhile, in the Atlantic Ocean, what's left of the Justice League is trying to find where to go to find some way to turn the tide, find some way to turn back the floodwaters and find a way, a weapon to fight the Sea Gods that have invaded. So as they're traveling, they're attacked by Swamp Thing, who's been transformed from the waters as well. And once Mira is able to free Flash and Superman from Swamp Thing's grasp, Superman inquires, well, maybe we can go to Atlantis. Maybe there's reinforcements there. And Mira informs him that Atlantis is gone. And then she pulls out the conch that she got from Arian's tomb, and Superman asks what it is, and Mira says, well, it might be our only hope. This relic may take us to the one person that can help us. It may take us to a dead man. Meanwhile, in the Blood Reef, the three gods, now that they've taken Aquaman's power, they have him at their mercy, and they're about to toss him into the universe's great whirlpool, a place where not only matter, but antimatter itself is ripped apart. And one of the gods says, long ago, Arion forced us to walk this plank. We spent eons in the graveyard of gods, rotting away like the ocean life we were meant to nurture, and we did it all waiting for this moment. And Aquaman tries to appeal to them again, saying it doesn't have to be this way. We can find a way to work together. But the gods answer, no. We've given your powers to your mortal enemy. We've crushed your kingdom. We've drowned your world. All that's left for you to do is walk the plank. And Aquaman says, well, it's true, you decaying piles of cosmic jetsam have taken my powers, but I live with Batman and I've learned a few tricks. And he actually manages to break the chains that are holding him back, starts to fight back, but he's vastly outnumbered. And the gods are able to push him over and send him hurtling toward the cosmic black hole. But luckily, Wonder Woman is there just in time on the skiff that she was able to rescue, and she catches Aquaman before he falls in. And she says, we need to get back to Earth. There's no time to lose. But Aquaman knows that that's a futile effort. Says, no, the key. You've got to use the key to the graveyard of gods. We need to get to Poseidon to save Earth. But Wonder Woman has doubts. So she says, Poseidon, Earth needs us. This is a fight that you know more about than anyone. And Aquaman says, that's exactly why we need to go and get Poseidon. I know the fight on Earth is hopeless. Meanwhile, the gods yell down to Aquaman that he can't escape his fate. And Wonder Woman, trusting Aquaman, does use the key, and her and Aquaman vanish in a blinding flash of light. Meanwhile, back on Earth, the Conch has led Mira, Superman, and Flash to the Atacama Desert, the driest place on Earth, to the tomb of Orion. And Flash is surprised that the tomb of an Atlantean sorcerer would be in the driest place on Earth, and wonders if Arian's tomb wouldn't have been in Atlantis itself. And Mira responds, that's exactly why that's a false tomb, and Arian is actually buried here where no one would think to look for him. So even though the floodwaters have infected Flash, he's been using the Speed Force to try to hold it back, and he uses his powers here to look for the tomb. Meanwhile, Superman, now in the desert where there's no cloud cover, is able to start using his powers again as well as he begins to be bathed in sunlight. And they find the tomb very quickly and prepare to enter it, hoping to find something, a weapon, if not Arian himself, to help fight against the sea gods. Meanwhile, the skiff carrying Wonder Woman and Aquaman is on a very fast current heading toward the graveyard of the gods. It's all they can do to keep the skiff from capsizing. Wonder Woman again expresses her doubts, saying the fight is on Earth. And Aquaman tells her the sea gods mentioned that powers like mine were used against them to fight them back the first time. And that's part of the reason the sea gods took those powers from me and gave them to Black Manta. So our only hope is to find Poseidon and see if he can give me my powers back. And Wonder Woman's response to that is, oftentimes where she's from, they're often better than their gods. And Poseidon in particular has been no great idol. So she's unsure of the wisdom of this action. And Aquaman says, you know, I value your guidance. You always seek the truth in people, but it's time to face the possibility that I've ignored my own truth. As ruler of oceans, as a king, I've felt restless, and I've always had my eyes on the horizon, searching for too long and to see what's far out there, as a searcher, as an explorer, rather than looking at the waters right in front of me. And it's led me adrift. And so he's talking about the fact that he's always been trying to find his place, right? It's the old adage of Aquaman being a fish out of water, and that being the story that writers continually try to come to Aquaman and explore. He's of two worlds. He doesn't belong to either one. There's that dichotomy, and that has led him astray. So we're getting a little meta here in a way. So as they approach the graveyard of the gods, Wonder Woman asks Aquaman to put that feeling away, because they have arrived. Meanwhile, back at the tomb of Orion, the three heroes, Mira, Flash, and Superman, find the final resting place of Orion. But when they open the door to his tomb, they find that it's been desecrated and the Tear of Extinction is missing. And as Mira is learning that, we get a voice off panel saying that the Tear of Extinction is right here. And we see that Commander Drogue and Black Manta have appeared. Manta explains that he and Cheetah stole the Tear of Extinction long ago and called down the sea gods to Earth with a little help from his allies in the Legion of Doom. And it's time for new leadership. And the heroes, old and new, there's nothing left there for them but death. So Mira immediately attacks, saying, how could you ally yourself with these wretched overlords? And Manta saying, you and your friends are the overlords. You're the ones who have always forced humanity to bow before the oceans and revere them instead of bending them to our will. And Commander Drogue and Captain Gall and Fleetwater Tide are there to change all that. And Manta now considers himself to be king of the oceans. And now that they've found the final resting place of Arrian, the driest place on Earth. They can flood that as well and drown the heroes. So meanwhile, back at the Graveyard of the Gods, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are being chased by the Guardian of the Graveyard, a three-headed tiger of some sort. They're able to escape from the Guardian and find Poseidon, and Aquaman appeals to him to return his powers after explaining that the Triumvirate of Sea Gods has returned to Earth, and Poseidon is despondent and says, "Arthur Curry of Earth, if you think I'm your savior, then you are already dead." And as he says that, he stabs Aquaman through the chest with his trident. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, we see that the hall is starting to give way. The protective shield around it is beginning to crack. Batman is again calling for assistance. Superman, Wonder Woman, if anyone can hear me, something's breaching the hall's defenses. Jarro can sense no help coming and asks Batman if they're going to be okay. And Batman tells the Starfish that it'll be all right. They'll find a way to win the day. And all of a sudden, there's a loud crash as Batman is going to check on the totality. And we see a voice off panel saying, "Knock, knock, Batman, can we come in? Or is it a bad time?" And we see that the Legion of Doom, due probably to the weakened defenses of the Hall of Justice because of the floodwaters, has managed to infiltrate not only the Hall of Justice, but the very room where the totality is being held. We see Gorilla Grodd, Sinestro, Lex Luthor, Cheetah, and Joker. And that is how the issue concludes, with the tease of next we see Batman versus the Legion of Doom. So obviously the elephant in the room in this issue is the apparent death of Aquaman. I wouldn't even say necessarily the death of Aquaman. I mean, we do see him get stabbed through the chest by Poseidon, but I mean, you can't think for 1 minute that Aquaman is really dead, right? A few reasons for that. Drowned Earth, this is his story. When Scott Snyder was on the show not too long ago, he talked about this really being the story, a story of Aquaman and Wonder Woman. So we know he's going to need to be there in the end. And even if he has been killed by Poseidon, he'll be resurrected quickly in a way. Also, he's got a movie coming out. So clearly we know that he's not going to be taken off the page for any kind of extended period of time. And finally, we know that Kelly Sue DeConnick is working on a new Aquaman run. I think that starts in, I want to say, issue 44. So again, there's no reason to think Aquaman is dead at all. It was a very impactful scene, and you've got to think that being in the Graveyard of Gods, Poseidon being there, Aquaman appealing to him for help, it has to have something to do with a rebirth or some way to jumpstart Aquaman's powers, some way to have them manifest themselves again. At no point when I saw Poseidon stab Aquaman did I think, oh, he's dead. Now they're really in trouble. I mean, they're kind of already with their backs against the wall and just not sure how they're going to defeat this Triumvirate of Sea Gods. They've done everything they can to try to find weapons or some kind of way around this, to find a way to stop the Kraken, to turn back the floodwater. But it seems at every turn, the Legion of Doom or the Sea Gods themselves are one step ahead. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Perhaps Batman will find a way to use the totality, weaponize the totality, to both repel the Legion of Doom as they've invaded the Hall of Justice, and use the totality itself to turn back the tides of these floodwaters. We do know there's some kind of very powerful entity within the totality. So it very well may be that entity could defeat the Legion of Doom, at least temporarily, and defeat the Sea Gods, turn back this invasion, but then it's kind of a case of out of the frying pan and into the fire. Right now, the Justice League would have a whole new battle on their hands. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's also entirely possible that Aquaman could find some powers within himself by being reborn or going on some kind of a journey through some kind of another realm. You know, say he's been stabbed by Poseidon, he goes into some kind of a fugue state, if you will, and, you know, goes on a journey of discovery, so to speak, and finds the power within him to help turn back the tide of the Sea God. So there's a lot of possibilities. I guess we'll have to read on to see. As I said, Aquaman 42 ties directly into this. I'm going to read it next. Haven't checked that out yet, or Justice League 12. So plan on reading those soon and covering them in an upcoming Justice League Spotlight. The last thing that I'll say about this issue, I kind of alluded to it earlier, about the fact that many writers have focused on the fish out of water aspect, or the man of two worlds aspect of Aquaman, not feeling at home in either. You know, his father's of the surface world, his mother's from Atlantis, and he doesn't feel that he belongs in either. Although he was heir to the crown of Atlantis, he's never felt like he was fit to be their ruler. And there's plenty of Atlanteans that feel the same way. He's not pure blood Atlantean, so he doesn't deserve to rule them. Meanwhile, the surface world looks on him with suspicion because he's from Atlantis, and so it's been explored many, many, many times, and I love the fact that what Kelly Sue DeConnick plans on doing in her run is not exploring that at all. And not to say that it's not a great idea that is ripe for a lot of exploration and story, and I don't know that we've ever gotten a definitive run on Aquaman that really reconciled those two. It always seemed like it was a question without an answer. But there's been plenty of great Aquaman stories over the years. But Kelly Sue's point was, you know, she thinks that as a character that he's grown beyond that finally. And she wants to take him more on a journey of self-discovery as to who he is as a person. Like, forget it, or as a character, either way you want to look at it. Forget about the heritage, the dual heritage and the stories that come from, you know, to quote her, the fish out of water aspect. But let's explore more of who he is and what he wants. And it's kind of alluded to here. Aquaman himself says, you know, I've always been looking to the horizon and I've never looked at the waters right in front of me. And that's something that needs to change. So I really expect that to be a big focus in Kelly Sue's run, which I can't wait for. I'm really excited to see her take on Aquaman. And that's not to say that what Dan Abnett has been doing hasn't been excellent. It's been a very political book, and it's been very interesting to read as well. And Abnett has used those political undertones to kind of reflect what's going on in the politics of the real world. And that's been interesting to read as well. So anyway, that's going to do it for this issue of Justice League. Right in the midst of the story, I'm very much enjoying what Scott Snyder, James Tynan, and Joshua Williamson have been doing with Justice League. They have made it feel very much central to the DC universe, which is what they planned on all along. And I almost feel like every one of these story arcs that they're doing rivals the Darkseid War in terms of an event within a title, right? Like, they're not going too crazy. You don't have to buy a ton of tie-ins. There are a few, you know, there's the bookend, the first part, the Justice League Aquaman one shot, and then we're going to have the Aquaman Justice League one shot to close it up. And obviously it's going to cross over with Aquaman because it's an Aquaman story, so I don't mind that at all. A few other tie-ins, and again, just making it feel like it's central to the DCU, and you know, seeing aspects of this flooding show up in other titles makes it feel like it's not just happening in the Justice League titles. But you can certainly just be reading the main Justice League titles and get everything you need. Definitely. So again, great that they're making it feel so central and so important. And they're really building momentum for some big things to come. And Scott Snyder's been teasing those on his Twitter feed lately about spring of 2019 really being a turning point and leading into probably a big event during the summer. So I guess we'll see. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.